Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derbies, who host Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Crash Course Derby Podcast. Excited to have you along for the ride. This is episode 299, and we've got a ton of stuff to cover. We're going to be jumping all over the place. We're going to be talking to folks in Minnesota about the Derby in Vegas. We're going to be talking about White Pine, Tennessee. We're going to be talking about the Tiger Memorial, all that to come. Excited to have you along for the ride tonight. Happy Thanksgiving to you, everybody. Hopefully your holidays were good. The deer hunters seem to be pretty happy.
Yeah, getting some deer out
we
there.
We saw an awesome, like, 8-point on the side of the road, on the thruway, in Victor. Just it was dark out, just kind
of
hanging out.
Just walked out of the suburbs, yep. Just got fed. That's funny. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law live in Farmington by 332, one of the housing developments there. And my brother-in-law installed cameras in his backyard, and it wasn't for intruders, it was to watch the deer. Literally, yeah. Like right in town. So, unfortunately. And then, even better, a friend of mine who lives just a couple streets over from here where we're broadcasting from, in town last week, I was in the tree stand, and he sends me a picture. He says, the pictures are rough. He said, it comes from my upstairs bedroom with my baby in one hand and my cell phone in the other. And he had a huge buck in his backyard right here in town.
Really?
Yeah. And I implored him to put a crossbow on his list to Santa Claus this year and see how that goes for him.
So. Can you imagine that? Just start throwing apple cores out the window, right?
Oh, he didn't even have to. It was legit like 30 yards from his house.
Wow.
Yeah. That's biggest cool. Buck. And he's a successful hunter. And it was a monster, just enormous. You don't even have to apple core them out. They walk right up.
Yeah. It's actually illegal to do, I think.
Illegal?
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
No.
They frown on that.
Frown on that.
Yeah. Sean McCollum joining us to talk a little bit about Winter Warzone 3 coming up this weekend. Sean, man, welcome to the show.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, good to talk to you again. 170 cars going to get wrecked in a single day coming up on December the 7th at Winter War Zone 3 in White Pine, Tennessee. I mean, tell me about it. It sounds like it's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. We're super excited to get this underway. It's been a long time coming. We've been gearing up for it all year. And, man, even still to this day, we're still getting people trying to get in that show. And, I mean, I've got to tell everybody, hey, it's maxed out. We can't take anybody else.
Really?
That's a good problem to have, though. I mean,
I mean, it makes you feel good, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it would be awesome to have 40 more cars, but there's no way we can get all y'all in one night.
How are you going to shove 170 cars through in a single day?
Well, it's one-shot deals, so it's 30 cars in each heat.
Right.
We got six different classes, so we're hoping. I mean, we made some changes on as far as, like, now we're going to get the cars out of the track. We added more equipment this year, and we're adding actually two exits. So
nice.
Hopefully it makes it a whole lot faster on getting cars off of the track. That was our biggest thing last year. The first year was the smoke. Last year was getting cars off the track. So this year, hopefully, we can tackle both of those.
So year three will be perfect. No problems at all.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of taking advice from what was his name? Sam. I can't even think of his name. Sam, is it Williams? Is
yes.
That right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's the one who started he started Blizzard Bash, right?
That's right, yep. Yes.
Okay, so I knew his first name was Sam, but I didn't know his last name. He told me, so the first year you're going to struggle. He said, second year you'll be okay. He said, if you're still able to do it on the third year, he's like, you're golden by then. So
right.
I think we're in good shape now.
Cool. You know what, and it's funny. We talk about it. It's been a long time coming. But, I mean, if you think back, I can remember us talking about this a year ago. Like, it's wet quick. Like, it was,
I remember.
It was a great turnout, great show. But
this whole year, man, has flew by. I mean, it's, I don't know. We've got We've got.
Uh-oh.
You've got. Well, we'll wait for that. You still there?
Uh-oh.
I don't know what happened there.
I'll
keep an eye on that. We did go back and find some of the old information from last year. The Tennessee resident class, Austin. Answers that question. Austin England came away with a win in the Tennessee resident division. Matt Greschel coming away with a win in the quick build over Scott Zisselman and Chris Cowan. The metric class, can you guess? Do you remember? Don Santel winning over Matt Mauser and Chris Waddell. P.J. Johnston over Jordan Cox in the mini cars. And the windshield class, it was Ron DeVroy and Jared Kratzer coming away with the top two spots, and Justin Gaffney in third place for that one. So, again, this is going to be in the Walter State Expo Center in White Pine, Tennessee. Young and Restless has done a ton in terms of expanding their season and expanding their schedule and things like that. So I'm looking forward to this one. I'm going to try and get Sean back on the line. And
yeah, it's you know, I remember when people were just talking about the idea of having the show, and it's come along quickly. You know, like Sean mentioned, they had some problems the first year with the smoke, and excuse me again. You know, last year was they were in trouble with getting cars off the track quickly. So hopefully they'll get that. But I mean, that's, you know, that's the, you know, kind of a product of the environment with getting cars on and off the track in a building.
I mean, that's one of the challenges, yeah, that everybody ends up running into is figuring out how to control all the smoke and stuff that's coming out of them. Because a lot of these cars end up running ethylene glycol on the way there so that they don't freeze the blocks out. We got your back? I'm glad.
I was sitting there talking away. I was like, man, they're not even answering nothing I got to say.
No, it got a little interesting there. But we were talking about the smoke and the steam and some of the stuff that you get indoors when you have derbies this time of year. We remember thinking back to one of the trips we had to Winter Slam. It was so cold down in the valley that the steam wasn't rising off of the track.
Yeah, it was a cloud.
And it was just a cloud because of the coolant they were running instead of running water like you typically see.
Right.
You got the ventilation situation straightened out, and now you've got a bunch of different classes. You got some of the exit strategies planned a little bit better, trying to optimize the exits from the track. Is it getting easier to plan the rest of it? I mean, you've got a lot of practice through the year with the expanded schedule this year as well.
Yeah, it's getting easier, but still this time of year, and this is not even a big show compared to like what Tim Clark and those guys are doing, but man, you walk around feeling like you got a 10-pound weight on your chest for like a month and a half before the show ever starts. But then soon as the flag drops, it's almost like you're driving. All that stress is just over with, and you're good to go.
Right.
But leading up to the Derby, it's a headache.
Can people still get tickets for the show at this point, or has that sold out?
No. It's not sold out as far as coming and watching. And we haven't got to the online sales part yet. We're just pretty much, you know, show up and get your tickets at the door. Cool. I would love to tell you it's going to sell out, but, you know, we've been getting about 2,700 people in there, and it holds, I think, 45. So
right.
I'm thinking this year is by far going to be our biggest year yet, and I hope so. That way it kind of gives me a little bit more to think of what I can add for next year.
I think your estimates are going to be I think you're going to pass your averages, put it that way.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd like to really get to where I don't want to raise the payouts too awful much. What I would really love to do is add in bigger Mad Dog prizes and multiple Mad Dog prizes. And sure. I think that kind of keeps the fans coming back, and a lot of drivers like that too, especially the drivers that are down there.
I think you're onto something with that. You know, there's a bunch of debates that were happening on one of the posts that Josh was involved with. I'm talking about the money in Demolition Derby and
yep.
the repeated conversation about the next level and how Demolition Derby needs to get to the next level and the reasons why it won't, the reasons why it should, et cetera, et cetera. And when you start bringing out the life-changing money, it seems like the throttle gets an egg underneath it.
Versus
when you start rewarding those mad dogs and people that are going out there to entertain the fans. Because at the end of the day, no different than anything else that happens, be it concerts, sports teams, whatever, it's an entertainment industry. It's fun to have a competitive motorsport, but it is still an entertainment industry, and you got to keep that in mind.
I consider our shows around here, and I know it sounds horrible, but it's like WWE wrestling. I mean, I swear to you, it's crazy. Our county fair shows are something to see, to say the least. It's entertaining, on the track, off the track, however you look at it. It's fun.
You know, I think some of the problem that NASCAR is running into is the lack of excitement on the track, and we've seen that at some big shows. Mm-hmm. Where there's a lot of money on the line, you know, guys, you know, I mean, that's, you know, 20, 30 grand. That's a pretty big chunk of change to take home in one night.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but you offer.
That's the crazy part around here, because you can go to I put on one show that's $7,500 to win. And then, hey, I might have a derby the next county over that don't pay $800. These guys will kill each other over $800.
Oh, yeah.
And you put $5,000 or something on the line, and it's like you can't get nobody to do anything.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, we've seen, you know, the one that really sticks out is the year Teddy Papadopoulos won Mad Dog at Capital City Carnage.
Right.
You know, he said in the driver's meeting, I'm here for Mad Dog. And he drove it in the heat, and he drove it in the feature, and he walked away with an awesome trophy. And I think it was $5,000 that year for Mad Dog.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's
a big Mad Dog.
And John did it the second year.
Yeah. You know,
there's
some guys that are really starting to pay good bad dogs out there. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I've never.
I think Dixon done that at that last show in Indiana. He had, I can't think of the name of it, the team derby. Didn't he have like a mad dog? He had like multiple mad dogs, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's something I've thought about is, you know, if, you know, you go out and, you know, they pay, you know, however many spots in the feature, why not pay? Okay, this guy was the Mad Dog, but man, this guy put on a hell of a show, and give him, you know, something. And down through, I mean, it's easy for me to spend a promoter's money, obviously, but I mean, it's just something to think about. I mean, you know.
Right. And then the bad part is if you put one big Mad Dog up, and then you got four guys that go out there and trash their car, who do you give it to?
Yeah. Exactly.
You almost need to be some, and I'm not saying give everybody a prize, but to be fair, you almost have to have two or four or something like that.
Yep.
Because, I mean, if you make a bunch of drivers mad that think they drove hard, then they probably aren't going to come back and support you, rather than if you had four Mad Dogs at $1,000 a piece.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, those guys are going to hurt.
You know, and you know, obviously, and maybe it's one of those things where you say before a show, look, if four guys earn Mad Dog, this is what we're going to pay four guys for Mad Dog. But if only two guys come out here and drive hard.
That would absolutely work, too.
You know, something like that. I mean, again, it's just one of those things I've thought about. You know, it would be cool to see how guys would.
Yeah, it would.
You know, how more guys would react in the features and stuff like that.
For sure. But, yeah, I'm pretty excited about getting down there and seeing what all everybody has. And that's more cars than we've ever had before. And like I said, we're turning them away right now. Guys are actually want to bring their cars down in case somebody doesn't pass, they can take their spot. I'm like, man, we'll have enough as it is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Look at that. I mean, that's really cool. It's not the first time we've come across that. Just bring your car down and
hang out.
Fingers crossed. Just wait till
I've heard 10 people are like, I'm just going to bring a car. And I'm like, man, there's no sense. Like, there's no way. I actually got Joker on board with me this year helping inspect, and that's going to help out a ton. And so I think we can get it done.
I reached out to him too. He's trying to get a roof on before the rains come.
Nice.
He's thrashing right now, so he wasn't going to be able to make it on the show. But we wish him the best. And having a mind like that in your inspection line is certainly going to help your show as well.
It is, and that's what I tell everybody. I don't want to be the guy that says, "Well, just show up at a show and you'll run no matter what you got going on." I want to be the guy that, hey, he'll shoot you straight, he'll treat you fair, and once you get on the track, it's up to you to drive your car.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
So pit gate's going to open at 8 o'clock for this one, and yes, everything's going to fall in line from there. $15 for adults. All-access pit pass is $25. It's a day's worth of Demolition Derby, to say the least. It starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, Winter Warzone 3. It's going to be streaming live on DerbyTees.tv, so you can't go wrong there. Got a chance to tune in. If you can't make it there in person, still plenty of seats available. Tickets sold only at the door, not available online. Six classes, 170 cars going to be wrecked sometime between 6 p.m. on Saturday and in the early hours of Sunday morning.
6 a.m.
No, and I don't think it's going
to
be that.
That show is only like 30 to 40 minutes away from Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's an awesome spot for a family.
Cool.
That's cool. Good.
And that was what we're trying to build on. Hey, you come down, you derby one day, you can do the family thing Friday, you can do the family thing Sunday, and if your family wants to go out and do whatever Saturday, you know, they can show up at 5 o'clock and still watch the derby.
Right on.
And, I mean, there is tons of stuff to do around there.
Awesome.
What's the schedule shaping up for next year? Have you put any thought into that yet? Even though 2019's not done yet. You're probably already looking at 2020.
I'm just trying to get through here and still have a little bit of hair left. And we've already added four more fair shows onto what we've already had. And I'm looking to pick up quite a few more. Yeah. Hopefully, and we'll see. But I'm trying to get a couple more venues, indoor venues, but I've not sealed the deal on that yet.
That's a tough nut to crack. It's a pretty specific venue that you're looking for.
And I don't really know if you can get the right place, but if you don't have something that has a good way to get some exhaust fumes out, you have nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you find that you know more about exhaust fans than you ever thought that you would in your life?
Oh, my God. Whenever I ran, I didn't even think nothing about exhaust fans.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, that is the number one thing going down here. I'm like, golly, I hope it does not. Because you never know. I mean, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, Topeka, I've never seen that place get smoky. I've seen other places get horrible, man, and that's the biggest fear for me is the smoke.
Yep.
The one year it was real cold in Topeka, the fans were having a hard time.
With the old system.
Yeah, with the old system. It was first or second year we were there. That was, I don't know what was goofy, but something with the weather outside was messing with the fans, and it was having a hard time.
The weather outside was too cold?
Yes.
And it got too cold.
Yeah,
so the hot air couldn't get through the dense cold air, and it basically plugged up the fans.
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah. It was just backfilling in the arena. It was a little tough to see the top half of the bowl.
Yeah, I think we ran a heat or two with the doors open to get stuff cleared out that night out there.
And it sure worked, didn't it?
Our first year down there at Winter Warzone, I'm thinking, you know, here's these big, huge fans in the top of the building. This thing's going to, you know, it's going to pull the smoke out and stuff quick. No, it killed it. Like, they cut the fans on, and it literally pushed all the smoke down right on top of the track, and it would not let the exhaust fans pull it out. And, I mean, it got horrible. But last year, we didn't touch those fans. We just run the exhaust fans, and it done really good. Right. But they did tell me last week while I was down there that they are installing 2 to 3 big exhaust fans in the ceiling of that facility. So next year, I'll probably have a little less weight on them. On my chest. I won't worry about it too awful much with it. If it has the exhaust fan in the ceiling, you're in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Entry list looks pretty strong. One of the names that popped right off the list that's back for this year, Don Santel, is going to be back for this edition. You know, you've got a real solid following from both when you were running and what you've recruited in terms of being a promoter and hosting good shows. When you see the entry list getting as deep as it is with the talent that's on there, Don Santel jumping up is some home recognition, you know, but there's plenty of talented names on there. What's that make you feel like?
It makes you feel really good that you got people that think that much of you to travel that far just to run a show that doesn't even pay that much, you know what I mean?
Right.
I tell you, the quick build class is going to be something. I mean, I don't know if you know, he goes by the name of Yank, John Terry is his name. Dude, that guy right there, him and his buddy is running, and they are nothing but wide open. And, I mean, they are fun to watch.
See?
And there's a few, actually, in that quick build class that that one's going to be – I think that's going to be your fast-paced show or fast-paced heat by far.
Yeah, the windshield class is cool, too. I mean, the windshield class sort of harkens back to what we've seen in the New England upper northeast, where it is very, very plain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very entertaining class, too.
Definitely.
And even that class, man, those cars surprise you. GM to GM and Ford to Ford. But that if you go down there and you run that show and you come out, you know, top five, top ten, you've done well. I mean, there's some really good windshield runners in that class.
What's like, I can't remember what they call it at Winterslam, but it's basically the same class. And that was always wild.
Yeah.
When you go out there for
like
that show.
Almost like a wire class.
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember what they call it.
The windshield class, are you allowed to run? Can you run like a Lumina, a W-body in that?
You could. And I've thought about that around here, like, they get around a whole lot quicker than a real wheel drive does.
Yes.
Yeah. My mind a time or two around here.
When we've had some wire class or stock build type stuff up here, we've seen some W bodies come in and really change the outcome
and play the role of
spoilers.
I've seen W bodies smoke pretty nice big cars before.
Oh yeah.
It's embarrassing if you're that guy, but. I super the other guy.
Yeah, it definitely happens.
Oh yeah, and even the mini cars. I mean, as bad as I could say it, but there's some grudges going on in both heats, and that could be one of those WWE moments like I talked about before. As bad as I hate to say it.
I see Donnie Rutherford is on the entry list. Nathan Turner going to be running as well in a couple of different divisions. Where you are with Young and Reckless versus White Pine, how difficult was it to put together a set of rules that everybody was ready to agree with so that you had the Tennessee drivers that were accustomed to county fair type stuff wanting to come and participate in some of the other stuff that's on the menu while still being able to draw some of those guys with stuff that they're used to from further west?
Right. That's the hardest part about this show down here is because I'm like 3.5 hours away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I get more support. Mainly a lot of my people that come and support it and just come to watch it are from out of town. It's hard to promote that show where I'm living, you know, almost 4 hours away. Right. It's hard to get the local people to come in. And I mean, I've got some guys like Chris Cowan and Philip Gentry, Chris South, JJ Green, a lot of those guys from down that way have actually really helped me out big time because they're kind of getting the word out a whole lot down that way.
Sure.
And I mean, you can go down there and set out posters and we've got it on the radio, but it's still it's a lot easier to promote if you live there. And as far as the rules and stuff, excuse me, the Tennessee, like I said, the same way with people coming to watch. Sorry, I can't talk. Most of the guys that run are from out of town, so I don't want to take their hometown arena away from them. That's whenever I opened up the Tennessee-only resident or Tennessee-resident class because
right. They
can run the cars that they like to run and still get to run their little hometown arena show. As far as making rules that everybody alike, I gave up on that. There's there's no way.
Never happened.
No. You can try, but you're always going to forget something and you're always going to not make somebody happy. My main thing is I try to make the ones that actually want to run happy, and the ones that don't ever run, I try not to even listen to their opinion. Not try to sound mean, but
you know, I mean, we've touched on it. I mean, you come out of a demolition derby, and generally the only one that's happy is the winner. I mean, everybody else
is. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, when you really think about it, it's like any other motorsport. The only one that was really happy is the winner.
I'm pretty lucky with that. Man, we got a lot of guys around here that run, and win or lose, man, they're still smiling. I mean, I can't say much bad about that as far as around here. But yeah, you'll have people, if they don't win, it was your fault, and you know the losers or the winner's a cheater.
And, oh yeah,
that's part of derby. You all know that.
Oh yeah,
good to know you're not immune.
Yeah,
wouldn't want you spoiled.
Yeah, that's for sure.
What is it now?
I said I wouldn't want you spoiled. Good to know you're not immune to that. You get to live that experience too. It makes you stronger, I suppose. He was talking about Sean McCollum with Winter Warzone 3 coming up this Saturday in White Pine, Tennessee. It's going to be streamed live on DerbyTees.com. You can find additional information on DerbyNation.tv as well. Still seats available. Entry list is full. 170 cars going to be wrecked over six classes. Gates open at 8 o'clock, Derby at 6 p.m. He was talking about running the cars that you want to run. Did you see Ronnie McClung picked up a car, was gifted a car?
Mm-mm.
Given a car. A 2010 Crown Vic. How many miles?
Oh, 16 or 18. I did see that.
18 miles.
And yeah, brand new car.
Yeah. Did you peek at the pictures close?
Oh.
Yeah.
The mirror, everything was written in Arabic.
Really?
Yeah. So it
I didn't
was,
see that.
It was a car that was from overseas or destined to be overseas. And unfortunately, it'll never see a road. It kind of is because of production rules and emissions and stuff. I think it's going to have to be smashed, but that is really cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
That might be the newest car I've ever seen wrecked in terms of mileage. I think we saw a 14, maybe a 13 or 14 or something get wrecked a couple years ago, but still, I mean, that was insane.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm interested in seeing is that, I believe it's San Filippo, is that right, where they're doing the muscle car heat?
Yes, yep.
That's going to be crazy.
That I thought the relic class made a lot of enemies.
Yeah. That's going to make a bunch of people mad. It's going to make a bunch of people scratch their heads all at once. I mean, that's going to be cool.
I'd like to find a Chevelle or a Nova to take to that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm an old muscle car guy, too, but it's still. Does it have to be two-door or can it be four-door?
Well, it's not a muscle car if it has four doors.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
Honestly, I haven't looked at the rules. I know. When I first talked to Jeremy about it, he said that, you know, they didn't have stuff set in stone, but he said there was going to be some specific body styles you know it had to fit within and so on and so forth. But I haven't taken the time to look at the rules yet and see exactly what it is. But I anything that brings any extra money in for the cause is amazing in my book. So there's some people out there that are being pretty ignorant about it, but. You know, I could care less. I mean, you know, if it brings 10 extra bucks in to go towards helping cure that disease, then so be it.
At the end of the day, it's their car that they bought with their money, and you don't get to pick what happens mm-hmm. to it. I mean, if I had my say, there'd be a whole lot fewer Chryslers that got derby. You know what I mean?
But oh, yeah.
I didn't own them all.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, when years ago I went and bought – I can't remember the guy's name. He used to derby a lot down Chemung, Owego, down that way. And he had a two-door Grand Fury. And that only had like 52,000 or 58,000 miles on it. Beautiful car. Mm-hmm. And he sold it for a song. And Kyle and I went down there and picked it up. And I paid him for it. And he said, oh, you know, you're going to put it on the road? I said, road? I said, what the hell are you talking about, road? I said, this is my Saturday night car at Waterloo. So, oh, my God, are you really going to wreck it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wreck it. He honestly thought I was buying it to drive. Knowing that I'm a derby driver, knowing me,
right.
He's like, I can't believe you're – I'm like, I don't know what you thought I was going to do with this. But.
I bought a – and I wasn't even planning on running it. I was actually selling it to a friend. It was one of the – I think it was a Shelby Mustang, but it was like the Mustang 2s.
Yep.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It had the V8 motor in it, and – I'd already paid for it, loaded it up on the trailer, and it was a guy that sold it to me. I guess his wife came outside, and she was like, what do you have plans for it? I was like, well, my buddy's going to run in the derby. She was crying. She wanted her money back. We wanted her car back, and she was trying to get my money back. But I've already paid you. I got a receipt for this thing. It's gone.
Nice.
Do you remember the guy at Trumansburg? I believe it was Trumansburg. This is a long, long time ago, who was going through a divorce, and he brought his Roadrunner to the track, and she was
my
not.
Dad would die.
She was not going to get this Roadrunner, but he was not going to get to keep it. So nobody got it, and they were begging. There was guys offering him money hand over fist, trying to get this blue Roadrunner.
That happened. I was when I was still elementary school. The same thing happened at the Kewee County Fairgrounds. They had a they used to be one of the biggest derbies around. Kewee County used to be a big derby back in the day. But my brother was over there, and he didn't go to derbies often, but he was there. I can't remember if it was a Satellite or a Roadrunner, but there was nothing wrong with it. And the guy's like, I just want to wreck it. And the same thing, guys are trying to buy it. Nope, I'm going to wreck it. And it was the same thing. Yeah, it happens.
For sure.
Crazy. I mean, stuff has changed so much. I mean, we were at a derby whenever I was probably 10, 12 years old. And I still remember, it was a 76 Pontiac Grandville. The guy was trying to run it, and the battery died on him while he was going into the getting ready to go on the track. He went starting, the battery was dead. My dad walked by. He said, "I'll take $50 for it, rust free." I was like, "Oh my gosh, stuff like that don't happen no more."
No.
That's $50 for an old iron GM.
A wagon at that.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
That is cool. Well, you're going to get to see your share of cars wrecked this weekend if you make it down to White Pine, Tennessee. Winter Warzone 3 is scheduled for December the 7th. Looking forward to seeing everybody down there. Young and Reckless Promotions, YNW, hosting this one. Sean McCullen joining us to talk about it. The Walter State Expo Center. Gates open at 8, Derby at 6 p.m. Sean, man, we gotta scoot out of here. We got some other folks that are trying to ring in as well. Is there anything else that you wanted to hit on before we let you go?
No, sir. You guys have a good week and weekend, and I appreciate you giving us a plug.
For sure, man. Absolutely. Anytime. I hope the show goes well. Hopefully the new exits work. You get that thing turned around, you can go through 170 cars in record time.
We're going to try anyway.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Thank you all.
Have a good one.
You can jump online and find more about Winter Warzone. Just punch in Winter Warzone 3. There's a couple different hits. Look for the event that's hosted by YNW Promotions. You can get all the details that you need right there for that one. So we're going to shift gears. Now we're going to go back to the far west, the far, far west of Las Vegas. And we're going to catch up with Sam Bando. And if we can get Randy, I don't know if we're going to get Randy. Hopefully.
The legendary Sam Bando.
Yes, we're going to get Randy first, and then we'll see if Randy's going to pick up for us. Hopefully Sam told him that we were calling. We got this one a little bit delayed as the show was happening.
Bando's 2 for 2. The last 2 times he's been to Vegas, he's brought the money home.
Right. Not too bad, right?
No, he's doing all right out there. He got that figured out.
Sure has. Another good run. That was for Team Near It.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad of a combination right there.
Yeah. Did you see the pictures, speaking of Team Near It, did you see the pictures of Jason Brodzinski's wagon?
Yeah, he fixed it.
After he turned it into a sedan?
Yeah, it's all fixed up now. No problem at all.
Yeah, ran in the kicker class at the Tim Tiger Memorial. I don't know how it made out, but I was pretty sure it was going to be tough on both ends.
It sure looks like it's going to be tough on both ends. Yeah. I would go along with that idea. That is an awful lot of work to make junk.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I don't think it'll ever bend. But
No. I don't think Brodzinski's mind ever turns off at all.
I like the picture that was shared where he was welding on the car himself.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, Tracy took a pic.
Sam, it's Chris. I couldn't get Randy on the line. Did you want to try calling him from your phone and then merge it? Just pick add a call and call Randy. And then if he picks up for you, it'll give you an option to merge it.
Live TV at his best.
Okay. Either way, we can fly solo.
So we just got word that Randy is on his way to a tow job, but Sam's going to try and ring him anyway.
There's only 8 foot of snow.
No, that's all.
You know,
it's all good. But let's see. I lost where I put that file so that we could go over all that stuff. So the overall Mad Dog Award winner at the Sin City Showdown was Angrett Cooper, and he did it in a mini car, which is pretty impressive, right? Let's see. And the my mistake. That was worded a little. Angrett Cooper. Got Sam Bando, anyway, joining us here to represent Team Near It, winning the Sin City Showdown. We were running through Las Vegas in the mini car division. It was Steve Carman winning that one. The Mad Dog Award was Jason Matt Mitchell. The overall Mad Dog was Angrett Cooper in that one. Wipeout number one, Donnie Case, and Wipeout number two, Shea Walden, winning that one. In the main event, as we talked about last week, it was Smith Metalworks coming away with the win there. Corey Roman, Pete Hansen, Brett Relier, Chance Smith winning that one. Main event number two, it was Team Near It. Randy Makowski, who we were trying to talk to, Robbie Layton, Sam Bando, and Nick Schumacher winning that one. Team as kicker coming away third place in that, behind the show, Mark Siopa, Todd Siopa, Scott Zizelman, and Toast. Team as kicker, Eric Tatey, Zach Ponzer, Brady Larson, and Brett Stringer. We saw them run at Blizzard Bash the week prior. So, Sam, taking a break from the evening's soccer duties, how's everything going out there, Sam?
Pretty good. They won their basketball game, so.
Sweet.
That's cool. Did I say soccer?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Wrong sport.
You said basketball, soccer. We don't like to run. Not very much. But it's like basketball and baseball, which it ain't a lot of running, but it's enough.
Right.
That's what I like to hear. So, Sam, 2 for 2 at Vegas. I mean, that's like a paycheck. Just go out there, collect your money, and come home. Right, bud?
Yeah, I use it like that. I know the tax person's really going to think it is, so can't deny it. I put a bunch of weight so they can take half of it from Heber and from there. So
absolutely.
Not looking good on 1099s this year.
No. That's what happens. You keep winning all the time. I mean, you know, that's what happens.
It's an awesome problem to have.
It is. No doubt, buddy. No doubt.
Tell us more about winning that team derby in Vegas. You had a good team around you, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was quite the combination. I liked some of the other drivers that I talked to, and I had heard some of them. They're like, well, the only thing I didn't want to do was draw Sam Bando. The only thing I didn't want to do was draw Robbie Layton. Well, here they're on the same team. So it was pretty funny because they were pretty fired up about that. Like Nick's not on social media, but I've driven with him since I was like 19. And when Randy had said to be on his team, he said, "What do you want to run with?" And I said, "I got to get Schumacher on the team. I don't care how much work it'll be to do it. If we get there, we'll win that show." And it's just awesome to have confidence going into it. And then with stuff going right for everybody, it was just cool.
What's it like for you to have stuff going right? Because you are a guy who, for whatever reason it is, you're a home-built guy. You put so much effort in putting your cars together. You've got good equipment around you. You've got good cars coming to the track. It just always seems like luck ignores you in full, and to have things go your way on top of having a good team around you shows that luck falls your way, good things can happen.
Yeah, normally the main thing, luck, the only luck I need really is in tech. if like at May Mania, the team show I ran with Cam Lewis, I had a pretty dirty Cadillac, and I had all the confidence in the world of winning that. Randy and Case were on a different team, so it worked out great. The track was rough. I had to cut my front suspension, and my wheels fell off. You know, I dropped right to the ground, and it's I don't know. You kind of do everything you can so you don't have to hope for luck, but I would say all my luck is just tech, I guess.
Yeah.
Because whatever they take apart on my car is where it's going to be affected, I guess. But that's just, you know, years and years of you double, triple stamp everything. I mean, like, I am always the last to get to places. I leave at the last moment, but how many guys, you know, check everything on that car three or four times, so there is nothing stupid.
Yeah, sure.
That's for sure.
I mean, just cotter pins, or if this bolt stripped out, you change it instead. Or we were going to a derby, and I was running late, and my mom said, "We got to turn around. We got to leave." And I said, "No, we're going to get there. If they turn us away, it'll be them turning us away. I'm not stopping." Got there, ended up winning it.
Right.
Cool. But that's it. I just struggle with tech, and I've gotten a lot better. I used to be pretty mouthy and kind of whiny, and I probably am easier to go through tech now, I guess. When my buddy just went up, and an older guy, and he told me, "You got to just be a good old boy. And you just got to stop all that. Just stop firing back. Don't be so defensive. Just go with it."
So have we seen the is it now just the tempered 7X instead of the ill-tempered?
There's still a lot of temper there. I don't think that ever goes away, but it's a lot. I can contain it better. I don't know. When it's got to go out, it's there. There's no doubt about it. But
Sam, were the kids with you out in Vegas to see the big win?
Oh, no. But my daughter was watching it live. She was pretty fired up.
I figured.
And then my kids, yeah, the kids, just Drake and Blaine, I think, got to watch it. But they were pretty excited.
I'm sure.
But, they want to go out there. And I said, "That's not the atmosphere I'm going to bring you guys." I don't know how other guys could do it. When we were out there, it just seemed like work no matter what. It was 24/7 work, just like when you're at Blizzard Bash. Everyone's like, "Oh, it's such a great time." I just think of it like 3-4 days of no sleep and working on cars.
No doubt.
Continuously.
Which sounds like a regular Thursday to Sunday in Minnesota for you.
Bad down shop.
Right. Yeah, it is a job no matter what people say. I mean, can you imagine how much money we'd have if we got paid for our hours? Holy. Oh,
goodness.
You could pay yourself for those hours, you're probably still in
it. Yeah, with Monopoly money.
Well, with all your winnings, you divide that out over the hours, and maybe
you
still get whacked out of the taxes, I guess.
I don't know. Fingers come out of nowhere once you cash that thing. All of a sudden, 10 people that never seen a car before, everyone has Cadillacs, and I can't stop buying them. And
Well, you probably got to slide that money past Jenny's fingers too, right?
No, she doesn't mess with that.
Just checking.
She never even asked for it, but
cool.
So we got her trained good.
And she's at work tonight. Didn't hear that comment, so it's all cool.
Yeah, she's not going to be on podcast stuff or anything derby related. She likes to be there, it'd be fun if you're running, but otherwise derbying's not like a big thing for her.
Yep. That's how a lot of women are. That's how my wife is.
You get to take some time off?
I like it. As long as I get to do my thing, I could care less. That was just one of the things I don't know if it was like the first date, but somewhere in that range, I got into the Metrodome to run a truck.
Sweet.
And I brought her, and I basically threw her to the dogs because there was like 20 people of my family all in one section, and she was in the middle of it.
Sweet.
And she survived, so I thought, probably a keeper.
I was going to say, she's probably a keeper then, huh?
Yep.
That's awesome.
She rode back in the vehicle with me, so it must not have been that bad.
Well, Chris's first or second or third date with Melissa was Whitney Point. I mean, good things happen.
Third.
And they went with me, and she didn't, she came back afterwards. That's kind of scary. The three of us went down.
Took a lot of convincing. Yeah.
But, so where to next for the ill-tempered 7X? You taking some time? I mean, obviously you're deer hunting. I mean, let's get that, doing some deer hunting.
I'm trying. It's a lot of hunting. I haven't seen anything big in a long time. I thought I was going to put my boy. I've seen so many two-year-old eight-pointers, and I had some three-year-olds, and I'm watching them every night bow hunting, and every big deer was out of range. And then, you know, you're like, oh, rifle season's coming up. This is going to be just a drop in a bucket. Yep. You don't see anything. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I couldn't get my kid on it. Now muzzleloader just started, and, yeah, my buddy missed Walmart last night, I guess.
I was talking with Elvis Thumb. I sent him a picture of the deer my brother-in-law got. He's like, oh, that's nice. And then he starts sending me pictures of North Dakota deer, South Dakota deer.
Just
oh, my goodness. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's not fair. It is so not fair. I had kids from southern Minnesota sending me pictures of the deer that they got anywhere where they got 5-acre finger of wood and, you know, 5-6 egg fields around them. And they're like, yeah, we just see what comes out.
Yeah.
And where I hunt, yeah, right. You, good luck. For a four-pointer to make it through the lands by us is almost impossible because we got, I don't know how many thousand acres, like right next to my house is all public land. So there's, oh my, you can't even get on the highway. There's, and you can't even park your trucks. It's crazy. Anything brown's going down. So like when you see all these other guys, and yeah, North Dakota, every guy is holding this giant buck, and they're like, not my best, but it'll work. And I'm like, screw you. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
When was the last time you had, when you watched 8-pointers walk by and be like, ah, none of them are old enough?
Never.
None of them.
Never.
Last year, I watched 3 8-pointers and a 10-pointer, and I passed them all 12 yards. Just because I had pictures of bigger deer on that lot.
The only...
If Brian saw a 10-pointer at 12 yards, he would kill it with a knife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd stab right in the throat and it'd be down.
If he could stay in the tree long enough, probably shake so hard he'd fall out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we were at Basher Cache a couple years ago, and Dave Diver shot a monster in Ohio, 184 or 185. It was huge. And he got it on video before he shot it. It was a bow. And he showed me that. And I'm like, look. And he invited me to come out and hunt with him sometime. I said, I would love to. I said, the only problem is, I said, I can't get in a tree stand. He's like, are you afraid of heights? And I said, no. But I said, if a deer like that walked by me in a tree stand, I said, I'd faint and fall out and die. He laughed. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah, definitely. It's crazy.
But did you show him the pictures of that 227 that you got? I know the pictures are on your old phone. You don't have them anymore.
227?
Yeah, the big, it scored out like 220-something. Remember that? It's on your old phone. You don't have the pictures anymore?
No.
No.
Chris, you're making fun of me?
A little.
Nice. All right, Sam, off the deer hunt. Where are you going next to wreck a car and make some money?
Back to March, Vegas, I guess.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I signed up for it again. We don't even know the rules. You don't know what the payout is. That's a long haul.
Yeah, it is.
One that I'm excited to go back for, and I kind of kicked myself how I drove it this year. I'm going back to Bakken Beatdown.
I heard a lot of good stuff about that. We talked about that show this summer.
Quite the list of drivers going there this year.
Yep.
I see Sam and Chris Williams jumped on there.
Yep.
Cool.
But last year I went there just for the Mad Dog, and I got it. And afterwards I felt really stupid because I thought I could have done pretty good in that feature.
How much did they pay for Mad Dog?
$5,000.
It's not bad.
With a 6.5-foot trophy, 2 mugs, and a huge Happy Gilmore check. Oh, yeah, I'm all about that life. I have never got a big check, so to get a Mad Dog check like that was my favorite thing in the world.
Hanging up in your shop right now, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I had it in the house all the way. We made it all the way through about mid-September, and then she moved it out to the garage.
She'd seen enough of it?
Well, I don't know. She made, like, this little shrine thing in there, kind of the trophies that were laying in the house, and they kind of put it up there, and it was supposed to be like a nice thing to me to where I was just pissed off it wasn't still in my kitchen.
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie. I'd put mine right in the kitchen, too.
That's what I was like, why is that not here? Like, that should be a staple in our family now. Like,
Absolutely.
No, I don't know. There's the bucket beat down, and then Clay and them were teasing me that I won't even make it out of my heat because it's the Heber curse or something, to go back to Heber to try and do good. Not to win it, but just to do good, I guess, is impossible.
I see.
Or so they say. So I just figured that was kind of a challenge accepted.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I don't really know. I haven't looked into much other shows. I'm basically, the Bakken thing, because I got a free entry to go back. I'm like, that's cool, because it's only 9 hours from my house. And when you can do them short trips like that, I'm so excited.
Only 9 hours.
I heard it.
Only 9 hours.
So, obviously, the caddies sort of become the new staple for El Tempered. I mean, have you got rid of all the Imperials and all the Mopars or what?
I've sold quite a few. I would say Thursday I'm picking up two more, another frame and another clip. So there's going to be, 15 plus.
Okay.
There's 372s, 176, there's 173, and then the rest are 74s.
Nice.
Sweet.
Because I'm all about 74s. I built that 73 that Nick ran on the team, mine was a 74, but that one collapsed in front of the right front. I've never had a problem in that open area where the triangles are.
Yep.
And in the heat, he had caught a door. We went back kind of watching. He hit part of a cage funny, and it shoved that thing tight. Like, it closed that Y.
Wow. That's impressive.
And I've never seen that. So I was like, yeah, you can have them 73s. But at the end of it, it was crazy because Randy is just like a magician.
Yes.
With his rollback and with some heat. We pulled it out like you could literally put it back on the road. It looks so good.
Sweet.
And then they plated it up, and like Nick's rear frame rails have never moved yet. We never touched them. We didn't notch. We didn't do anything. Just put a Chevy bumper, and that thing's straight as an arrow yet. But we went on there. I had four Cadillac, out of the two Cadillacs, we didn't lose. I bent to, that thing wobbled out on, the idler arm wobbled out on mine, yep. And my steering box puked out the end.
Oh.
Other than that, we didn't wreck one steering part, like, I guess one steering gear, so okay, you wrecked that, but no tie rods, no center links. Our lowers were perfect. We never changed one tire all weekend.
Wow. It's a good weekend.
That is a very good weekend.
That's crazy.
How many times have you ever done that to where you run your car three times without changing one tire?
That's nice.
And that's when you walk away with a win. That's why all your tires stayed on. Your steering stayed on.
Yep.
He was running that LS of mine that I won Heber with.
Yep.
And I was running that Collier motor, and it's unbelievable when you just have to drive. That's all you got to do is drive.
Yeah.
You don't think about the motor. You don't think about it dying. It's just perfect.
Yeah. It's...
And that fuel-injected LS that we run is the same thing. It's like you never – all you got to do is focus on driving. It really gets easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know. You can do many things okay, but you can only do one thing well.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good way to recap it right there. Congratulations, Sam, on the win. Team Nearit coming away with the win in the second night of Team Derby action at the Sin City Showdown. Just to recap the team one more time, it was Sam Bandel, Robbie Layton, Nick Schumacher, and Randy Mikowski coming away with the win in that one. Sam, man, we appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. Looking forward to catching up with you again. Well, maybe we'll talk when we get a little bit closer to the March Vegas Derby, because it seems like you like to take money out of that place. And we'll recap that one before you make that long trip, because, you know, 9 hours, it's a short one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we could start like a little fuel, like a tip jar just for fuel.
I'll see what we can come up with.
Oh, okay.
Sam, thanks a ton, man. Good luck with the deer hunting.
All right, thank you.
Always good to talk to you.
Bye.
There goes Sam Bando. And going to catch
Sam
Brianna and Cody.
One of the great guys.
He is, isn't he?
See him take some nasty little parts of Blizzard Bashing. Run the snot right out of him.
He's brought some nasty Mopars a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that Imperial Heat at Crossroads?
Oh.
I think, was it Crossroads? Pretty sure it was Crossroads. When I think, hey, let me put you in. Sam, or it might even have been his brother, that was late modeling.
Sam.
Two-door 300 around there.
That was the left front.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun to see. Brandon Myers and Cody Koch joining us now. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you, Chris?
We're doing okay. Thanks for coming on the show here. Running a little bit late given some of the phone challenges we had early on, but hopefully they don't kick us out of here. We'll get a chance to catch up on the annual Tim Tigert Memorial Derby. This was the fourth edition of that one. 2-day show this year happening on the 30th and on the 1st. How great was the show?
It went really well. I was really happy with it. The new facility is beautiful, and the people are awesome. They were real happy with us. They got a real kick out of seeing that type of drivers come in. The drivers came in way more than we expected. That was our highest car count. I was really pleased with that.
So the new facility is the Jay County Fairgrounds, right? That's in Portland, Indiana?
Yes, sir.
The legendary pork chop was on track detail. Had it fast and looking good.
That was the amount of rain we had leading up to the show and a little bit even during the event. That track couldn't have been better than what it was. I was really proud of him. He does excellent work. Chop.
he takes it serious, man. He puts his heart and soul into everything when it comes to demolition derby. he showed pictures as he was working on it, and I didn't get to see a lot of it. I seen some clips here and there, but you know, it was wet, but it was holding up, and cars were getting around. So it was definitely a great show.
Before we get too deep on this one, youth class winner Caleb Bolton picking up the win and the Mad Dog Award, which was pretty good to see when you get to take both at the same time. That's always fun. The Gut and Go class, Tyler Collins taking the win there. Kendall Morrison winning the Mad Dog Award. Bo Haynes winning the Aids Wire class. Bill Merritt taking the Mad Dog there. It was Levi Bowman coming up with second place in that one. The 110-inch mini class, William Maddie took the win over John Rutherford. Ricky Hopp got the Mad Dog Award there. Limited World Trucks, Mark Golden winning that one. Trevor Couturier, I believe, is how you say that. And the Limited World Truck got Mad Dog Award there. Limited World, Nick Nugent won over Levi Deem, and Levi Deem got the Mad Dog Award. Dave Meyer was third in that one. Then the Turkey Derby kicker class, Shane Jones won over Ben Shell, Danny Neal taking third, and Mad Dog honors in that one. You guys said that you were surprised a little bit, you know, blown away by the continued support. The show's been gaining more and more momentum. As we talked to Sean earlier tonight, you know, year one you're going to struggle. Year two you might be okay. If you make it to year three, you're golden. You guys are in year four now. You know, how did that hold true, I guess, is the best way to ask it. Does that hold true that once you get past that certain threshold, you guys are good to go? People know about this show. They look forward to the show, and obviously it's done for a good cause.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely true. It doesn't get a whole lot easier, in my opinion. We still put a lot into it, but it's pretty crazy seeing how many people kind of sell it for us. You know, telling everyone how much fun they had and coming back. And it's pretty crazy seeing how many people come to support us and what we do for Tim.
This one is this one's available on Derby Tees as well. You can go back and catch the replay. And I think they had the year priors available as well. So you can go back and relive last year's Turkey Derby as well. You grew up around Tim, right? You knew Tim from when you were a young kid?
Yeah. I was real little kid when he and my dad were friends for as long as I can remember. And he actually made my very first roof sign. My very first derbies were at his shows.
Cool.
I grew up around him. He was part of the family.
That is really cool. You know, now to move into the management role, working with Jason and Coke Promotions. I mean, what's that mean to you? A little bit of full circle here. He went from he's giving you the opportunity to run and shows that he's promoted, and now you're kind of carrying on his legacy and his memory.
It's pretty cool for me, especially, like, I handle most of the questions ahead of time and whatnot, and some of the biggest names in the sport asking me stuff and talking to me, like, I'm just one of the guys. It's pretty cool. I'm not used to that.
Right.
Because I don't run as much as my dad does, so it's pretty neat overall.
Yeah, it's cool when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Starstruck.
That's
happened. It's always fun. You get to tell the best derby brains in the industry, no, you can't do that.
No doubt.
I'm usually complimenting their ideas. We like build our creativity at Turkey Derby. I come up with something I hadn't thought of yet, and I'm always impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, these big shows, you see stuff like that. Guys don't – and that's the thing. I mean, this is turning into one of those destination derbies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's really picking up steam. You know, you hear a lot about it throughout the year. You know, guys bring good stuff there. I mean, we touched on Jason Brodzinski, you know, bringing that wagon there. You know, that's a car like that is definitely going to bring a lot of attention. You know, so it's cool to see so many guys, you know, going down and running this big show.
You guys do a pre-entry, right? You can pre-register for your particular classes?
Yes, we have a pre-entry. It's not mandatory to show up for a pre-entry. We accept people all the way up to. That's why we didn't know how many was coming for sure. And we had a good bit more than what had pre-entered.
That's where I was going with that question. Was there anything in the pre-registration list to suggest that you were going to get that influx of cars? I mean, you guys had 8 divisions to run through, and you got them all in over the course of the 2 days, and we just let everybody know about the winners there. That's a lot of classes. That's a lot of different opportunities for people to bring cars. So I guess it's not too surprising, you know, that you get a healthy turnout. But was there anything on paper or anything that was coming through the mail to suggest that you were going to get the turnout that you did?
I would say probably the gut-and-go pre-entry. I think we had something like 58 pre-enter gut-and-go cars alone, and that was pretty incredible to see on paper.
That's a nice start.
Yeah, that alone, you got 58 pre-entries for gut-and-go. That is more than some county fairs get for the entirety of their derby.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's...
Absolutely. that's not a bad way to start out.
Where do you go from here? I mean, I know you guys got some other shows that you do through the course of the year, but this is sort of the crown jewel. This is the hallmark. This is the one where the torch really gets carried year to year. Where do you go from here to build from this year with the strong turnouts and the great payouts and stuff like that to continue to push that level and take this to the quote-unquote next tier, as it were?
Well, as any other additional shows right now, that's kind of on a to-be-determined basis with being out of brand new grounds and getting to meet these people and figuring out their schedules.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we already have people talking to us about Turkey Derby for next year, and people want to know when we're going to start releasing information for the following year for that again. And
it's not a bad thing.
That's probably before the first green flag even flew, right?
Yeah, I had some people bring it up in tech, asking about what we were doing for next year.
Sweet.
I was like, will we get through this one first, buddy?
Well, what it was probably, hey, can we do this different for next year, and can I try this next year? And you know how drivers are. They're always pushing that. They always want to do a little more.
Yeah, it was definitely some of that.
How much learning happened in the questions, right? Yeah. Cody runs.
Yeah, so absolutely.
How creative do your builds get to become with all the questions coming to you?
What was that? Sorry.
How creative do your builds get to become with all those big names in Derby asking you these creative questions, and how much of that could you turn around and then apply to your own homework?
Probably a fair bit.
Maybe.
Maybe. If you could spend one day answering the phone calls for that, Brian, would you do it?
No.
No?
No. Because something that annoys me is
because you know how deep the waters are that you should be swimming in?
No. Something that annoys me is, like, if somebody asks me a question and I give them an answer, the answer is black and white. So if, you know, but what if I do this and then do this, and then you're still trying to get to that spot where they want to get to? No, we're not going there. This is it. This is here. This is the spot we're going to. No matter which crooked road you take to try to get there, it's not going to work because you can't get there. Right. So that's one thing. And that's, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, one, I've never wanted to put in the time to be an official, like an inspector, right, for especially a big derby like this. But part of it is that I just, you know, with my temperament and personality, you know, after I tell you no the first 8 or 9 times, I'm probably going to start telling you no not nicely. So I know what my strengths or my weaknesses are, so I would not enjoy that. Now, standing back and listening to the drivers, you know, go through that with an inspector, I think that's hilarious because it's not me going through it. But as far as me, you know, every man's got to know his weakness, and that would be one of my weaknesses, and I just stay away from it and watch from afar.
At this level, you know, we always talk about how the respect level's there, and then on the flip side, you see some of the conversations that happen over the definition of bolt.
Yeah.
When you're at, like, Blizzard Bash or something like that. Cody, so do you find a pretty fair respect level to where you tell somebody no, your family's been pretty creative in terms of what they've done with their cars and stuff, so you can appreciate the artistry and the engineering that goes into this stuff, but at the same time, you still have to tell people no. Is that respect level pretty hard and fast across the line, or are people still trying to end around and bicker and crooked road path kind of thing their way into getting what they were trying to accomplish?
There's a lot of people that do a great job. I do not mind people trying to push the rule. That's the driver's job. We understand that. Sometimes it takes a little bit of patience, like you were talking about, when you tell somebody no, they can't do something 8 or 9 times and they're still trying to find a way to say it in a different language. It's like, no, not that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people try to push the wrong things or push a little too much, and you got to try and cut them off. But overall, it's really not bad. I don't mind people trying to come up with new ideas. It's nice to get away from the cookie cutter builds a little bit.
I remember last year we had talked about the show, and I can't remember what precipitated the need to find the new facility.
Had been looking around here and there. We didn't have covered grandstands or any kind of shelter for anyone, and it's really cold in Indiana this time of year with wind and possible rain or snow. You never know what it's going to be.
Right.
And they had, at Portland, they had the covered grandstands, a couple of heated buildings we could have, one of which our vendors were in.
Nice.
That's always
nice. It was a massive upgrade. Portland is awesome. I really like the new change.
Did you outgrow that in your first year of Portland?
No. They have some room to grow. I really like the place. It's hard to see from some of the pictures. We had a lot of people compliment us on that when they showed up. They said they didn't realize just how big the facility was until they got there.
That's always a good thing to hear.
Yep. That's some fantastic news right there. Because I think you're gonna be shocked again. Is there, you know what I didn't look up, is do you have limits on your entries? You know, is there a capped amount per class, or is it as many can come and will run?
It is unlimited entry base. We tried to do limited entries in the past, and that just left us with big long waiting lists. A bunch of people upset they couldn't run.
Yep.
So we just open it up to a 2-day show and let them all come, and it seems like everyone was pretty cool with that and worked out.
Good.
Well, next year, now that everybody knows that you have more room to use, I'm sure that your entry list is going to grow again.
Keep bringing them.
For the 2020 edition. of the Tim Tigert Memorial. That'll be the fifth one. I mean, I
going fast,
isn't it? What would Tim think if you had the chance to have a conversation with him? What would he tell you about this Memorial Derby and how big that has gotten?
Well, knowing Tim as well as I did, I think the first thing he would do is pick on me about something that I'd messed up, just give me a hard time, and then I think he'd be really proud.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yep.
It's good to hear stuff like that.
I think you're doing a nice job of honoring him with that, for sure. And hopefully this Derby has a nice long life ahead of it and going into year number five. Sounds like year number four was plenty successful. Is there anybody that you want to mention or recognize in terms of doing a good job on the track, officiating, inspecting, sponsors, partners, anything along those lines?
Yes. There's too many to name them all. Sure. I don't want to miss anybody. I just want to focus on one person in particular, which is Nick Glassburn for OFR CNC Plasma. He made our trophies, the first place big raffle ball trophies, if you saw those.
They were incredible.
Weren't those wild?
They were incredible.
And then he also made the second place and third place trophies out of steel cutouts as well.
Yeah,
they were incredible. That was just beautiful work, and he won't take near enough for everything he does for us. He helps, he flagged, he gave the trophies. He and his family and the people who helped him really are incredible, and it's hard to beat.
What did you call the trophy? You called a raffle ball trophy?
They're fireballs. It's up off the ground, standing.
Gotcha.
It's what they're made for. He has a CNC plasma cutting business, and he does all kinds of things like that. And we have
very
to
unique trophies.
And trophies, and he definitely came through.
Very, very unique. They're awesome.
They were pretty epic. They reminded me of the World Cup trophies, you know?
I don't watch that. Okay.
I know. It's also soccer. Actually, I've squeezed two soccer references in through the course of this, huh?
You did.
I did. Right. I did. And then the only person that cares.
Yes.
For sure. Well, man, that going to be awarded next year as well? The fireballs?
I don't know what we're going to have yet. I'll have to work that out in the future. If we can and if he can, I'd like to work with him for another cool prize. We'll just have to wait and see how everything plays out.
Very cool. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. I know it came together late, but we were able to connect on that. And awesome to have you on, talk a little bit about the show online. For additional information, if you want to find more about it, CokeRacingPromotions.com. They're active on Facebook, CokeRacingPromotions.com. You find them very active webpage as well. If you want to go back and relive it, of course, you got the option to go back on demand on DerbyTees.com. They've got all the coverage there. Derby Nation TV as well, I believe, had the coverage of it. So if you want to go back and relive it, you got the opportunities there. Thanks so much for coming on the show, guys. Keep us posted as the year goes on. If anything new happens, we'd be happy to talk about it.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for coming on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
See you now. There goes Brandon Myers and Cody Koch hanging out in a parking lot to make sure that they had good reception. We appreciate that, making the effort to tuning in, listening along. So counting both of them watching plus the ones online brings us to three viewers, which is awesome.
Usually we're about, yeah. I remember one of our shows we did on the road and somebody went to a McDonald's with her laptop and sat and watched us at McDonald's.
Yep, I remember that. Was his first name Seth?
We've had some crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. The bar takeovers are always the best stories.
Yeah. We're talking about wrestling at 4:30 in the morning in Kentucky.
So, you know I'll tell you about it later. Okay. I don't think anybody cares on here. That wrestling game that I play, they just released a new character on it. It's Wendy Richter.
Wow.
Right?
Rock and roll, like the original rock and roll hookup.
Yeah, like way back Legends era, they called it. Yeah, it was cool.
You weren't even alive yet when that was going on. You
yes,
like
I
young.
Was. Hang on.
Were you like when eight?
Pump the brakes. I was like...
six?
It was 1985, right? 85, 86?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, so I was three.
Terrific.
But I do remember it. I remember it well. Mm-hmm. Cindy Lauper and Captain Lou Albano. Girls just want to have fun, I believe. Captain
Wendy Richter. Yeah. Well. Friends with Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. They were like the rock and roll, like
rock and wrestling, I believe.
Chris, we're at 300 next week. What do you think about that?
I think we got to find some guests. I don't know. I was debating today on what to do with it. Like, do we just sit around and reminisce and make 300 ultimately a throwaway episode that doesn't have anything other than old content rehashed?
That nobody will watch it. Just you and I enjoying
nobody
ourselves.
Will come back and watch her. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the best move is to make, but we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll figure it all out. It still is crazy. I was trying to think today how many different guests we've had, because there's been a lot of times where we've had people on. Well, Sam's been on a handful of times. I think Sam Williams been on the most out of anybody. Tim's been on quite a few times, but at
Brock
the same
Way's
time,
been on a bunch.
Yeah, he's been on a handful of times.
Jeremy's been on a few times.
Tim Ellison's been here
a bunch
of times. Brett Relier's been on, but at the same time, it's not like we've got 300 episodes with 20 different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's been a lot of different demolition derby drivers from many, many states that have been.
Troy Tagg, we've talked a couple times. Eric Moulet.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ronnie McClung.
Remember the guy?
Bobby Cousineau.
In Alaska.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I want to go to Alaska sometime.
Was it Ian? No. We talked to Ian Roshlu. I butchered his name. But we also talked to somebody else in Alaska.
It was the promoter that had the Imperial up in cold storage.
Yeah, literally.
Yep. I can't remember his name now. But, I mean, there's people always joke about, you know, oh, that person's forgot more about Demolition Derby than, you know, when it comes to the show. I think probably the archives are going to help jog our memories a little bit on some of this stuff, because there's been a lot that's happened that's like, oh, wow, yeah, I forgot about that, or, oh, yeah, I forgot that, you know?
Yeah. not lately, but I've went back and just looked at, you know, guests and you know, show summaries, and I remember sitting and talking with Rick Engelhart and Mike Brown about Imperials and 03s.
Remember the servo?
Super servo. He was so proud of that servo, man. Yeah. Rick loved that servo.
Still, to this day, it's like top five in terms of views.
Mm-hmm.
And the number's still growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
amazing. You know, and I've said it before a bunch, and I'll say it until we don't do it anymore. It's awesome that people tune in and listen to us and appreciate it. You know, I count myself very lucky, you know, that you said, hey, you want to do a podcast? We've done and seen things that we never expected.
Ever.
You know, I mean, we've literally met the biggest names in the sport. Maybe we should be doing this next week. I don't know, but it's
probably should probably save cool. It. We'll reminisce more. We'll reminisce more about the places we've been and the things that we've seen next week on episode number 300. That's going to do it for us here this week. 299 in the books. Thanks to Brianna, Cody, Sean, and Sam for making some time for us tonight. We look forward to catching up with everybody again next Monday, back on a regular schedule. We'll see you then.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.